Day 14. The most dramatic day yet at Euro 2008, as hundreds and thousands of fans invade Vienna, and at the Ernst Happel Stadium, there's Turkish delight. Croatia, the Turks' latest victims in perhaps their most amazing comeback yet. We look back at the game, well, the good bit at the end anyway, and forward to Saturday's clash as Holland, the team of the tournament so far, take on Russia. All that plus your posts and the news in Football Daily. Barry, I think the only word I can really use is woof. What an extraordinary day Friday proved to be. Vienna swamped with fans, first of all, looking like a proper city at last.
It did. It looked like a proper city for the first time since we got here. There was litter on the street. There were drunken football fans asleep on the street.
But enough about us, eh?
Yes, indeed.
No, but seriously,
bottles being thrown. Right. It was magnificent. It's what we've come to... not what we've come to expect, but what we were hoping for, I think.
Well, I don't know.
Croatia were here basically in the absence of English fans. I think they put in a good sort of representation.
There was an eerie similarity, wasn't there?
There was indeed.
Now, they were talking about, I mentioned hundreds of thousands. They were talking about 200,000 or so. One of our listeners, Jan, actually popped in with his friend Henrik, and he was explaining that these two nations, Turkey and Croatia, the two biggest minorities in Austria, and particularly in Vienna, and there are 100,000 each of them here in the city anyway, without having to travel across from Croatia and Turkey, and it was absolutely swamped, mainly Croatians.
Yeah, I mean, the Croatians have been incredibly well represented here since we got here in the first place. Lots of really, and I have to say, scary-looking blokes. Not to suggest that they haven't caused much trouble or anything, but they do look quite frightening and intimidating.
Well, it's going to be an interesting night here in Vienna. I suspect
it may be like the scene from Shaun of the Dead, where we'll be locked here in the pub with the undead hordes beating down the door, trying to get in and kill us.
Except with face painting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we've got Barney Morone coming up, who was actually at the stadium, so... audio could be an interesting one, that. But anyway, we'll be hearing from him very, very presently. First, though, let's get today's news headlines. Bong.
Raymond Domenech has revealed the reason for France's Euro 2008 collapse. The team's hotel. The layout of the place was all wrong, he explained. It was in a kind of cul-de-sac, with only one route in and out, as opposed to other cul-de-sacs with multiple exits. Plus, there were gatherings of people coming around, watching us eat, he said. Still, having proposed to his girlfriend on live TV, with hilarious consequences, the French coach is no stranger to eating humble pie in public. Bong.
Swiss railway workers have been told to change their orange reflective vests to prevent Dutch football fans following them onto the tracks. A railway spokesman said they decided the change after a group of Netherlands fans followed a worker onto the lines after mistaking his uniform for their traditional orange dress. Reports of confused fans trying to eat their dinner off Croatia supporters has forced Vienna's Italian restaurants to consider a similar change.
Bong. After being turned down by FC's 1-19, former England boss Steve McLaren has now found work with Dutch side FC 20. The Eredivisie club finished fourth last season, so McLaren will be facing the qualifying stages of the Champions League. 90% of fans think, why him? But he's used to working with top players, say the club. It looks a smart move, as judging by his England record, he'll need 20 opportunities to win anything, at least.
Right, joining us now on the line from the Ernst Happel Stadium, where it's all gone off this evening, Barney Roney. Barney, have you ever seen a finale like that before?
That was extraordinary, wasn't it? The stadium obviously erupted when Krasnic scored in the 119th minute, but the equaliser was just something else.
Really?
Nobody knew what to do with themselves. There were people hurling. Half the stadium had started to leave, actually, while the Turks were out on the staircases. And they had to come pounding back up to scream in delight. It was really quite something.
Well, because we saw Bilic jumping up on the pitch like they'd won the game, and the players were celebrating. Then he's telling them, go on, you've got to go out and finish just the last few seconds. But we thought, well, it's over, isn't it? And then the Turks, who I don't think had a proper shot on goal in the entire 120 minutes, pull that one out of the hat. They are the team of destiny, no?
Yeah, they're extraordinary, aren't they? I mean, you feel it has to come to an end at some point. But to their credit, they didn't just hang on in extra time. They were coming forward. Croatia looked exhausted, as they had done here against Austria in humidity as well. And, the Turks were coming forward there at the end.
It's amazing. They do only seem to get going towards the end of matches, but the way they took control in extra time was amazing. I wanted to ask, what did you think about Croatia, though? We saw them so impressive against Germany, but this was like their first game against Austria. They looked like they'd lost all semblance of the plot.
Well, I think you've got to give credit to Fatih Terim, the Turkish manager, because Jogilo was ambushed a bit by the Croatian midfield. It was a new formation. Terim had obviously had a look at that. And in the first half, he totally suffocated them. They played very narrow. And Bilic just couldn't get, his playmakers just couldn't get going. Credit to Turkey for that.
Barney, it was two of the most passionate sets of fans in the tournament in the stadium tonight. What was the atmosphere like?
Well, actually, I was expecting it to be really loud. But it wasn't all that, to be honest. There didn't seem to be that many Turks here. There are lots of Croats, and they were quite loud. But I actually thought the Austria-Germany game was louder, probably because they're all singing the same songs together at the same time.
Right, I think I see the subtext you're hinting at there. But anyway, they must have been heartbroken.
Particularly, it's all in the past.
All right. The heartbreak, though, for the Croatians at the end, what were the faces like as they left? Were there painted faces streaming?
Well, there was a really nice moment with the fans. I mean, you always get a round of applause for your team, but they gave their team a really nice, warm round of applause when it all died down a bit. And I think they're very proud of how well they played. This is a young Croatian team, relatively, not all of them, obviously, but I think they've got a lot of potential, and the managers have got a lot of potential. I think they're pretty happy, actually, with the way things have gone, even though it's a heartbreaking way to go out.
Yeah, just amazing. And once again, it was extraordinary enough that Croatia scored in the last minute of extra time. But to get the equaliser, just amazing.
It really changed the game. I have to say, to the second half, you did feel there was only one team. It actually looked like they were trying to score a goal. It was a sort of terrible, kind of stifling Turkish performance for quite a while. But that did change, and they did come forward. And in the end, you kind of felt they almost pretty much deserved it.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. What do you think about Turkey's chances against Germany then in the semi-final? The repeat of, the 2002 World Cup semi-final?
Well, I thought they didn't have much chance here. I think they've got even less chance against Germany. But, you're fooled to write them off. They've got incredible spirit. And the manager has done extremely well in this tournament. He only had 15 fit players here, including two goalkeepers. But he still pulled something off. It's quite extraordinary.
I mean, the thing is, Barney, that in the last European Championships, everyone expected Greece to lose at some point, and they didn't. Now everyone's expecting Turkey to lose at some point, and who's to say they won't?
The spectre of another Greece.
Yeah, but a lot more entertaining, though. A lot more entertaining than Greece, though, no?
Sorry, I lost you there. You broke up.
All right. Yeah, a lot more entertaining than Greece, though, no?
But more entertaining than Greece, absolutely. Yeah, I mean there are things like goals and attacks involved, but they are still a very densely formed, a densely set up team. They're very hard to break down, and there are similarities.
Brilliant. Listen, Barney, thank you so much for that, and enjoy making your way out of what I'm sure is a very, very calm and orderly stadium.
I think I'm going to stay here for half an hour.
Yeah, nice one. All right. Well, listen. Best of luck with that, and we'll speak to you soon, Barney. Let's have a look at your posts. Now, first off, many thanks for your tips, Yell and Red and Vienna International. Lots of excitement for the top penalties video that Barry was mentioning just back there. Great video. It says Antipode in Cork. Very impressive juggling of balls, Barry, and you got it in the box too, right between the legs. James might not have scored, but he did get some head. Constantine 11. Oi, 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 oi. How come you guys are never talking about the Germans in their matches, a cryptic Honigstein aside? Out of 26 minutes yesterday, there were only 6 minutes for apparently the match of the tournament today. Well, they've all been match of the tournaments, really. But here we go. Let's talk a little bit about Germany. Roy A1 says, I think Germany were better without Frings. Barry, I'm going to be asking your opinion, so pay attention here. He was having a nightmare tournament with most moves breaking down when they reached him. His long raking passes over the heads of wingers and strikers were replaced by short, accurate passing in midfield. A big reason, along with the departure of Gomez, for Germany improvement. Barry, what do you reckon? Frings?
Frings ain't what he used to be.
No, right then.
But I think the big story one of our listeners does actually have a stopwatch out counting how much time we devote to each topic.
Right.
Which I think frankly, is...
All right, well, anyway, on the...
Okay, carry on. Crack on, don't mind me.
On the subject of the Germany win, this really is genius. It didn't come from our posts, but from the Minute by Minutes. We posted up right at the end. I think Tom Lutz put this up at the end. It was posted in by Jonas Steinbrink at the end of that Germany game against Portugal. And he said, if Portugal's number 10 swapped shirts with the German fullback at the end of the game, would that be Moutinho dressed as Lamb?
That's gold.
That is gold. Anyway, much debate about Scolari, incidentally, with Portugal crashing out and people asking, like Keith Norris said, why are Chelsea spending so much money on a trainer who's failed 3 out of 4 times? And the answer coming from Wonka, because Gus Hiddink didn't fancy it, neither did Ancelotti, neither did a long list of people, Spalletti. You do wonder what's happened with Chelsea, who not long ago people would have talked of as a very attractive destination for managers, and they just don't seem to want to go there anymore. Barry, would you go there?
Go there in a heartbeat.
Would you?
I mean, I'd go, I'd fail dismally, I'd take my enormous payoff, and right. I'd never work again. Happy days.
Right, okay, well, Keith Norris saying that Scolari, you have to see, won a World Cup with a team which included one of the most potent attacking forces that world football has ever seen. Since then, he's taken the best generation of footballers that Portugal have ever produced and won nothing. I am not convinced that Scolari will cut the mustard. Eat some chips, says it's not Euro-related, but could Jimbo perhaps enlighten Spurs fans on the merits or otherwise of our apparent new signing, Mario Santana? Eat some chips, says Barry's consistent and unrelenting refusal to accept any negative comments whatsoever is truly spectacular. So you have a fan.
I think that's very unfair.
Okay, right.
I'm quite happy to accept criticism if it's justified, but if it's some whinging post...
Now, on the subject of Mario Santana, which Eat Some Chips was asking...
Hello!
Fiorentina are busy denying that this move is going to go through. If it does go through, you're getting him for the same money that Roma splashed out for John Arnorisa, which blows my mind, because Santana's a decent player. Was very lively when he used to play for Chievo 2, 3, 4 years ago now. But I must admit, his time at Fiorentina has been very, very hampered by injuries and stuff, and he hasn't had a regular role in the side, and his performances have suffered. But if he were to get a regular role in the side, I think he'd be a blinding winger for you, but I doubt he would get that starting spot. Anyway, look-alike, Bill Nix goes, says, I'll begin to wonder whether Mr. Glendening is simply trying to divert attention with his poo-pooing of the whole look-alike business from someone inevitably making this link. And he posts a picture to Ronnie Cray, or is it Reggie?
Ronnie.
Right. Who apparently looks at you, but I don't see that, Barry.
Well, he has spectacles on.
Right.
And he's very good to his mum, as am I.
Indeed. Well, there you go. Those were posts. Good.
Could I just say, for the record, by the way, that good lady wife and son are coming over this evening. Oh, well, today.
Yep.
And we're all going to the fun fair this afternoon.
Yes.
To have a good
Saturday
time.
Afternoon. If you're in Vienna and you fancy some fun, that's where we'll be.
We'll be having a lot of fun at the fun fair. So if anyone wants to post up complaining about the phones, how much time we devote to Turkey or anything else, don't bother, because we won't be answering them. We'll be out on the dodgems, eating ice creams and generally having a good time. Thank you.
Now, Holland, Russia. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, James. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Barry's here, and he's doing extremely well.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hi.
Hello. I'm sorry we're calling you so late. It's on account of that rather exciting finale at the Ernst Happel this evening.
Yeah, annoying, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was. Listen, do you think, because every night goes by and we go, wow, this tournament just gets more and more exciting, do you think that Holland-Russia can possibly live up to events on Friday?
I was just trying to work this out. I think I've never looked forward to a game as much as this. I think the two sides who are absolutely incapable of playing any other way than the great attacking way they have played. I know Holland's going to play on the counter, but really defensively they're not that great, I don't think. You know, Van der Sar to make 2 or 3 very good saves in both the first 2 games. I think Russia will get chances. I think Russia are pretty poor at the back. I think both teams have to attack tomorrow. I think it'll be fantastic.
All right. Listen, Russia did look amazing against Sweden, which is when we all kind of jumped up and down, etc. I know Barry had tipped them way back at the start, etc. However, you can't help but remember what Spain did to them a little bit more than a week ago. And when you think of them up against the speed of the Dutch, it could turn into a bit of a car crash for them, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could do. I think the thing about Spain game, which is both the encouraging thing and the kind of a fear for Russia, is that they actually didn't play that badly in that game. Which, I mean, I think I said at the time that three midfield, they held possession pretty well. They worked the ball wide quite well. They created chances. They had that Zirianov chance at 1-0 that hit the post, would have equalised. And what they lacked was a real kind of incisiveness and cutting edge, which is what Sharvin gives them. And also, you know, they were absolutely abysmal at the back. Now, bringing back Ignashevic seems to have sorted out to an extent now. You know, admittedly, Greece and Sweden don't pose the kind of attacking threat that Spain did, or that Holland will. But they have at least steadied the ship. So, you know, while I kind of wouldn't be confident of them keeping a clean sheet, they have a chance of doing so. And you know, Sharvin going forward, I thought he was absolutely fantastic against Sweden.
Right.
And you just hope that he can kind of produce a similar performance again tomorrow.
Jonathan, if Russia were to play the same way they did against Sweden and Holland played the same way against Italy, there's every chance like the ball will be pinged around the field so fast nobody will be able to see it. What do you think
It could be absolutely phenomenal. I mean, these things never quite work out the way you hope they will, but they were both just so good that you think those two things together. I mean, the danger is they are both teams who like to play on the counter, and when two teams who play on the counter meet each other, you can get stalemates. I remember talking to you ahead of the UEFA Cup final with Zenit, who obviously put a lot of the same players in the Russia side playing quite a similar way. And the concern there was that if Rangers were going to sit off them, would they be able to get the space behind Rangers? And really, for an hour or so, they didn't. In the last half hour, as Rangers began to tire, they did get the chances. Now, the Dutch team won't play like Rangers did that night, but they are a team who like to play on the counter. So, I guess there's a slight danger they might cancel each other out. But really, I don't think so. I think they're both going to... I think philosophically, they both believe in attacking football. So, I'm very optimistic.
Jonathan, you were a bit suspicious, shall we say, of the Russian self-belief coming into this tournament. And obviously that's been boosted by the way they've come through the group stage. But they are facing the most intimidating of teams on Saturday night. Holland have beaten the two World Cup finalists 7-1 in their two group matches, then ran out their B team and still beat the Romanians, who had everything to play for, 2-1. And you're saying, I mean, they are allegedly a bit shaky at the bat, but I mean, everyone's been raving about Von Bronckhorst. Van der Sar's been looking outstanding as well. Where do you see possible chances for Russia?
Well, I think the fact they did rest the first team, Holland rested the first team in the last game, I think that has to give Russia hope. If you look at the two teams who've lost in the quarterfinals so far, Portugal and Croatia, they both went through that same process of resting teams in that third game having already qualified. So whether it's possible to maintain momentum and to kind of keep the rhythm going, I do wonder if you can get a bit over-clever in those circumstances. I think the big concern for Russia and Russian fans is this sense that, well, maybe we've already done it. Maybe this is all we needed to do was to get to the last eight. Hiddink mentioned it in his press conference today, when he said that no Russian team had ever got through a group stage before. They've done that. So in a sense, they've already ticked that box. They've achieved what they set out to do. Now, that could have two effects. They could kind of go into the game with no fear, and they could play the kind of great kind of fearless attacking football we hope they will. Or they might just kind of think, well, you know, I don't really fancy this. We're 1-0 down or whatever, and we've already done what we need to do. Let's just not get embarrassed. And I just worry if that is the danger, that they think they've done all they need to. But yeah, as I say, hopefully they'll go in without fear.
All right. Hiddink, you presume wouldn't take that kind of attitude. What's your prediction then for the game?
It'll be a fantastic 4-4 draw, and Russia will lose on penalties. realistically, I think the Dutch will win it, but I really hope it could be a very exciting 2-1 or 3-2 or something like that.
Excellent. Well, listen, Jonathan, you going along to the game?
Yeah, I will be there, yeah.
All right, nice one. Well, I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it lives up to all your expectations, and thanks very much for joining us tonight. Jonathan Wilson, Barry.
Again.
Yeah, and he's great, isn't he?
Isn't he very passionate? He has forgotten more about football than I will ever know. And that's not a huge compliment to pay him.
What I was going to say was there are a lot of people who know a lot about football, but they don't always communicate it with such joy and positivity as their Jonathan does.
He makes all that nerdery about, 4-3-2-1 and 5-4-1 and all that, which I tend to find slightly tedious.
Right.
He makes it quite interesting and compelling.
Mm. Well done to Jonathan Wilson. And, well, there you go. That's the end of today's show. I know we probably haven't talked enough about Turkey's extraordinary comeback, but what can you say beyond, well, woof and crikey? And
woof, crikey, and we now have to go home.
Yeah,
and it could be...
mayhem on the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. of Vienna. There you go. Well, I hope you enjoyed that, listeners. We're back, of course, tomorrow with more, the reaction to Holland, Russia, etc., etc. In the meantime, many, many thanks, producer Pete, Barry, and you, the listener and the good folk of Vienna, who will have some clearing up to do in the morning. Bye-bye for now.